The first time I walked up to her, my knees buckled. Words gone. Smile crooked. I had read every book, watched every YouTube guru, and still, I choked. But that night, something changed. I met a man who didn't chase women. He studied them. He showed me that conversation wasn't a game. It was a system. One built on human dynamics, persuasion methods, and the psychology of deep emotions. I followed him. I took notes. I practiced in coffee shops, sidewalks, gallery openings. And I learned how to never have an awkward moment again. Welcome to the infield. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. It happened on a Wednesday. Downtown. Cool air mid-autumn. The kind of day where the sun hits the sidewalk, just right, and you start to think maybe today's the day something shifts. I saw her across the street, tall, brown-skinned, honey-lit by the light spilling out of the cafe behind her. She was laughing at something on her phone. Not the fake kind of laugh. The kind that punches the air out of your lungs and makes strangers want to lean in. I didn't know her name. Still don't. But I remember what she wore, olive green jacket, cracked leather boots, black scarf wrapped like armor around her neck. She looked like she didn't care who saw her smile, like the world bent a little in her direction. And I froze. Not just in my legs. My mind blank. Stiff. Like a damn PS1 game glitching on a scratched disc. 1,000 self-help videos, 2 Tony Robbins courses, hours of cold approach Reddit threads. And I just stood there. Mouth dry. Heart racing. Mind racing. She crossed the street. Closer. I could have said anything, a question, a joke, even a lie. But my voice shrank behind my tongue. I adjusted my jacket. Looked down at my phone like it held the answer to my life. She walked right past me. Didn't even glance my way. The scent of her perfume lingered, sweet, faintly spiced, like jasmine and danger. And just like that, she was gone. I wasn't just embarrassed. I was humiliated by myself. That night, I sat on the floor of my one-bedroom apartment, just staring at the wall. Not scrolling. Not watching anything. Just staring. The freeze wasn't new. It had happened before, at bookstores, networking events, even in a damn Whole Foods aisle. But this one broke me differently. Something in me cracked. Because for the first time, I wasn't mad at women. I wasn't mad at the game. I was mad at how much I'd been manipulated, by society, by content creators, by fake gurus who sold confidence like cocaine and preached ethics like predators. I was living someone else's playbook. Their rules. Their scripts. But none of them knew me. None of them had sat in the server room of their own brain and watched their confidence short-circuit. I was a grown man with decent looks, solid job, sharp wardrobe, and absolutely no ability to speak like a human when it counted most. That night, I opened my notes app. I wrote 4 words. No more awkward moments. That was the moment I decided I wasn't just going to learn how to talk to women. I was going to engineer it. Study it. Like art exploration meets human dynamics, with the same intensity one gave to business or design or audio manipulation. The next day, I showed up at a local gallery opening. Not because I cared about the art, but because I knew beautiful people showed up where wine was free and conversation mattered more than DMs. That's when I saw him. Late 40s, maybe early 50s. Gray fedora, burgundy overcoat, polished brown boots that probably cost more than my rent. He leaned against the bar with posture like a man who owned his name. He didn't talk. He didn't try. Women came to him, and he said almost nothing, but they laughed. They leaned in. One even touched his chest before walking away, like she needed to make sure he was real. I watched him all night. Eventually, he looked over and said, "You're studying me. Good. But you're missing the only thing that matters." I blinked. What's that? You're watching the output. But conversation, real connection, starts in the shadows, where no one's watching, where deep emotions crawl up your throat and make you bite your own tongue. He didn't introduce himself, didn't ask my name. He just tapped my chest lightly, right over my heart, and said, "That's where your freeze lives. Not in your mouth. In your memory. You need to unlearn everything they taught you." Then he walked away. I never saw him again. But he was right. That freeze, that knee-locking, brain-jamming, soul-dimming glitch, it came from years of manipulation. Not just from media. from myself, from my own bad code, my own shadowed truths. Every awkward moment had a root, a buried byline of fear. That was the night I deleted every pickup artist podcast from my phone. That was the night I started becoming my own experiment. This story isn't about getting women. It's about getting unstuck. It's about persuasion methods that aren't designed to trick. They're designed to clarify. It's about reclaiming influence from fake influencers and learning the psychology of human connection from real-life bruises. It's about walking up to someone and not just having words, but knowing that those words are alive. They're yours. They come from the emotional clarity you bled for. And that, right there, is how I started mastering infield conversations. One freeze at a time. 3 days after the gallery, I saw him again. Not in real life. In a reflection. I was standing in a boutique bookstore downtown, the kind with rough brick walls, overpriced candles, and curated tables stacked with titles about emotional resilience, influence mastery, and how to stop being a doormat. You know, that carefully curated therapy via book aesthetic. I wasn't looking for answers, just noise. But that's when I caught my own reflection in the window, and I froze again. It wasn't the freeze like last time. It was worse. I didn't recognize the man staring back. He looked tired, like he'd been living in someone else's skin for years. A man who read about body language and cognitive psychology, but forgot what it meant to actually feel. That reflection wasn't a stranger. It was a mirror, and it spoke louder than any voice ever had. That night, I wrote something in my notebook. You can't fix awkward with a script. You fix it with awareness. Real body intelligence. Real psychological principles. Real-time emotional recalibration. The next morning, I went back to that gallery. Not for art. For the man. I didn't know what I expected. He wasn't there the first hour. I walked through every room, pretending to care about splattered canvases and postmodern nonsense. Until I caught that familiar scent, bergamot and cedarwood, laced with confidence. There he was. Same boots. Same fedora. Same energy like a specter that bends the space around him. I approached slow. Hey, last time, you said I was watching the output. That the real work happens in the shadows. He didn't look at me. Just sipped his drink. Ice clinked once. You remember that, he said. Good. Most men forget words once ego kicks in. I stood silent. You want to know the trick? He continued. There's no trick. There's mirror work. You need to become fluent in three things. What she sees, what you project, and what you suppress. That's the triad. That's the language of mastering human interaction. Then he turned. His eyes weren't piercing. They were surgical. You've been taught to perform, not to connect, he said. You've memorized lines. Followed trending conversations. Listened to soft-spoken sociopaths with mics teaching you how to get girls while hiding their own rejections behind paywalls. He gestured to a couple across the room. The guy was mid-sentence, gesturing wildly. The girl smiled politely, but her foot pointed away, her shoulders stiff. She was done 5 minutes ago. He's speaking, the man said, but he's not feeling. That's the art technique most men miss. Conversation isn't paint by numbers. It's emotional brushwork. Subtle. Layered. Felt. I laughed, nervous. So what do I do? He looked at me like I'd missed the obvious. You start by shutting up, he said. You listen. Not just to words. To breath. To blink rate. To microtension in her cheek when you mention your ex. Every woman is a walking language. Learn to read the script behind her smile. And then what? Then you speak, with presence, not panic. You align your body awareness with your psychological intent. You don't seek approval. You give understanding. That was the moment it hit me. This wasn't about talking to women. This was about unlearning mental manipulation and reclaiming authentic expression. It was about stepping out of the role of the con artist, because that's what so many men become, unintentionally. They mirror tactics without meaning. They deploy phrases without purpose. They manipulate without even realizing they're the ones being manipulated by toxic market psychology, fake influencers, and buried insecurities they inherited from fathers who never learned intimacy. Show me, I said. He raised an eyebrow. Show you. Yeah. Teach me. Break me down. I want to learn the real thing. He studied me. Then he smiled. Meet me Saturday. Same gallery. 7 p.m. Don't bring notes. Don't wear cologne. Don't try to impress anyone. Come as your freeze. That night, I didn't sleep. Not because I was nervous. Because for the first time in my life, I felt like I'd finally located the server room of my own soul, and someone had handed me the login. From that moment on, I stopped calling this journey, learning how to talk to women. I started calling it what it really was, mastering influence through emotional integrity. A full body, full heart, full mind recalibration. No more awkward moments wasn't a catchphrase. It was becoming a creed. Saturday night, 7:03 p.m. I was late, on purpose. He said show up as my freeze. So I did, slightly anxious, slightly sweaty, shirt untucked, no cologne. Just me. Raw. Flawed. Unmasked. When I walked into the gallery, he was already there, sitting alone near a neon-lit sculpture shaped like an open mouth. It pulsed red, danger, invitation, exposure. Without looking up, he said, most men enter a room trying to fill the silence. But power lives in owning the silence. I sat. He slid a napkin across the table. Folded, but I could already see three words written in thick black ink. Observe, validate, lead. This, he said, tapping the words once, is the architecture of real conversation. One, observe. You don't start by talking. You start by watching. Not just people, patterns. Who is looking for attention? Who is shrinking away? Who's scanning the room for escape routes? He pointed out a woman near the far wall. Minimal makeup, tight posture, phone clutched like armor. She's waiting for a friend, or pretending to be. She's not here to be approached. You do it now, you're an interruption, not a relief. Then he nodded toward a woman by the drink table. Loose posture. Scanning the room. Twirling her earring. She's open. That earring move. That's subconscious. It's body intelligence. She's not looking for a man. She's looking for something to respond to. Someone in rhythm with the space. I nodded. You observe without judgment. Without agenda. You're a curator, not a sniper. You're reading the energy of the room like a surgeon studies a pulse before slicing skin. Two, validate. When you engage, you don't just speak, you anchor. You give her something real to hold on to. Not a compliment. A mirror. A reflection of her inner experience. I blinked. What does that even mean? He leaned in. It means you don't say. You look amazing. You say. You walked in like the night owed you something, and it just handed you the keys. Pause. Then you shut up and let it land. I exhaled hard. He continued. Validation is not flattery. It's precision. It's surgical. You're identifying a part of her she thought was invisible, and you're giving it a name. Isn't that manipulation? Everything is, he said. The question is whether it's rooted in ego or empathy. That's the ethical standard. Three, lead. The third layer, he said, is where most men fail. Because leadership in conversation isn't about control. It's about movement. Flow. You guide the emotional current without forcing the direction. He tapped his chest. You speak from center. Not from strategy. Not from scripts. From presence. He motioned toward another man in the room. Loud. Eager. Performing for a woman who smiled with her mouth, but not her eyes. See him. He's not leading. He's loud. Big difference. She'll nod, maybe laugh. But she's counting minutes until she can walk away. Then he pointed to a couple nearby, barely speaking, just trading glances, subtle gestures. The man touched the base of her wine glass when she laughed, just once. That's leadership, he said. He's not performing. He's not chasing. He's pacing. He understands the psychology of tension. Let me guess, I said. You're going to say this can't be learned from books. He smiled. No. It can, but only if you unlearn everything first. You can't overlay persuasion techniques on top of insecurity. That's how you build manipulation, not mastery. That night, we stayed until the gallery closed. He drew diagrams on napkins, told stories about women who left in the middle of conversations, and what those moments taught him. He confessed he used to be awkward too, before he learned to stop chasing outcomes and start chasing awareness. Before we parted, he handed me a folded slip of paper. It said, you're not here to impress her. You're here to express you. And if you do it right, she'll want to meet the man behind the words. When I got home, I didn't turn on the TV. Didn't scroll. I just stared at that paper and realized. This wasn't about fixing conversations. It was about reconstructing the foundation. Brick by brick. Layer by layer. With tools like cognitive behavior, group dynamics, and yes, even a bit of dark psychology when used with ethics. And for the first time, I didn't feel awkward. I felt awake. Let me tell you a secret. What women say they want in a man, and what they actually respond to, in real time, under pressure, in the wild, are often very different things. It's not because women are liars. It's because self-perception is flawed, just like ours. You think you're being nice, but what she feels is neediness. You think you're being confident, but your body is screaming, "Please accept me." I didn't learn this from books. I learned it watching a woman walk away from me mid-sentence, three words into a compliment I rehearsed all day. She didn't roll her eyes. She didn't sigh. She just pivoted, like she'd heard it all before. And she had. That night, I broke down the moment like a forensic analyst. Where did I lose her? Was it the words? The timing? The intonation? The energy? I played it back in my head like a crime scene. That's when I realized I was speaking from the script, not the spark. I wasn't there to connect. I was there to perform. The mirror man, yeah, he came back. Unannounced, of course. I was in a dimly lit cafe 2 days later, watching a couple from across the room. The woman was glowing. Not because the man was attractive, he wasn't. Not conventionally. But she was leaning in, eyes soft, feet tucked under her. He didn't say much. But every time he did, she laughed like his voice was a secret only she could hear. "Why do you think that is?" a voice behind me said. I didn't even turn. I knew it was him. "He's listening," I said. "No," Mirror Man replied. "He's tuning. He's not just hearing words. He's tracking market emotions. Emotional cues. Microshifts in tempo, rhythm, desire. Women respond to alignment," he continued. "Not perfection. Not cleverness. They respond to the man who isn't trying to control the moment, but to read it." He sat across from me and pulled out a napkin. Again, at this point, it was his signature move. He drew a circle and split it into three. Cognitive energy. Body language. Emotional signal. "This," he said, "is the triangle of truth. If all three aren't aligned, she'll feel it. Even if she doesn't know why." I nodded, writing it down in my phone. He grabbed it from me and placed it face down on the table. "No notes," he said. "Just memory. True body intelligence can't live in your thumbs." He explained it like this. "Cognitive energy is the intention behind your words. Not the line, but the why behind the line. Body language is the live feedback system. The way your shoulders, eyes, and voice leak truth, whether you want them to or not. Emotional signal is what she feels from you, even in silence. When a woman feels all three sinking," he said, "she doesn't just hear you. She experiences you. And if even one is off, you become noise." We practiced that night. Not with women. With silence. He'd ask a question, then hold eye contact, for 20 seconds. 30 longer. I felt exposed. Stripped. He said, "Most men fill gaps with jokes, facts, or flexes. But she's not listening for words. She's listening for coherence. For consistency between your breath and your belief." I asked him, "So how do you fake it until you make it?" He looked disgusted. "You don't. That's the con artist's way. You want to influence her? Start with being unshakably honest with yourself. The moment you try to project what you're not, she'll feel it. Even if she can't explain why." That hit me hard. Because up to that point, all I'd ever done was try to seem confident. Try to seem in control. Try to say what I thought she wanted to hear. And yet, somehow, I kept ending up in the shadows of justice, defending myself against things I never said, but somehow still communicated. So what do women really respond to? Not status. Not smoothness. Not even logic. They respond to the man who can hold space. Not dominate it. Not shrink inside it. But occupy it, with relaxed awareness. With cognitive psychology that isn't loud, but present. With emotional honesty, even in discomfort. That night, Mirror Man gave me one final exercise. Go to the bookstore. Approach no one. But stand in the psychology aisle for 1 hour. Observe who pauses. Who reads. Who touches a book then walks away. Learn what they're responding to. Then, do the same thing in the self-help aisle. See how society manipulation teaches men to fix themselves while never addressing the real fracture. Their disconnection from their own body cues. I did it. And for the first time in my life, I understood women in a way I never had before. Not because they changed, but because I stopped changing myself just to be accepted. And that, my friend, is when the awkward moments actually ended. Not when I became smooth, but when I became real. The Mirror Man didn't show up the next week. No text. No note. No whisper from the shadows. Just silence. And maybe that was the point. Because when you've been spoon-fed tactics your whole life, silence feels like punishment. But when you're finally learning how to breathe inside discomfort, silence becomes your lab. That week, I started the hardest part of the process. Desensitization. Not to pain. Not to rejection. To being seen. You ever notice how most guys say they fear rejection? That's not the truth. They fear being visible, vulnerable, in a world where every gesture is scanned, recorded, judged. And in that fear, we default to what's safe, sarcasm, hiding behind sunglasses, over-explaining ourselves in hopes we're not misunderstood. But desensitization kills that. Because you can't master conversation if you flinch every time your presence lands in someone else's awareness. The first drill was simple, brutal, beautiful. Walk into a public space. Stand still. Say nothing. And let the room notice you. No phone. No props. No pretending to look for someone. Just you. Exposed. I did it in a coffee shop first. 30 minutes of stillness. Fidgeting. Shaky breath. Avoiding eye contact. Then forcing eye contact. Then wanting to crawl out of my own skin. By minute 22, something cracked. My brain stopped trying to escape. And my body stopped apologizing for taking up space. That was the beginning of true body awareness. Next drill, micro conversations. One word. One sentence. No goal. No closing. No follow-up. No number game. I started at grocery stores, elevators, museum lobbies. Instead of asking questions, I made observations. That coffee smells like nostalgia. She looks like she owns this entire floor. This place has panic attack lighting. Sometimes people laughed. Sometimes they ignored me. But what mattered was that I wasn't performing anymore. I was playing with language exploration, emotional calibration, and the psychology of in-the-moment contact. One night, I was walking past a bar. Inside, I saw a woman alone at a high table, swirling her drink like it was a crystal ball. She didn't look sad, just somewhere else. I walked in, no plan. I stopped 3 feet away and said, "That drink looks like it knows all your secrets." She looked up, paused, smiled. "It does," she said. "Wanna hear one?" We talked for 10 minutes. Then I left. I never asked for her number. Never tried to impress her. Never once calculated the moment. And I've never felt more powerful. That's what desensitization does. It doesn't teach you how to win. It teaches you how to stop fearing yourself, your voice, your pace, your silence. You stop scanning the room for permission to exist. And you start existing because you've finally made peace with your own presence. There were harder drills too. Complimenting strangers and walking away before they could reply. Speaking to women without flirting just to see how your body behaves. Practicing pauses, letting tension breathe without rushing to relieve it. I began tracking my emotional decision-making like a scientist. I'd note, when my voice cracked, when I avoided eye contact, when I overcompensated, when I leaned in too fast. I wasn't fixing myself. I was collecting data on human dynamics, group behavior, and most importantly, my own internal weather. One night, I ran into Mirror Man again, in the most unexpected place, a boxing gym. He wasn't boxing, just watching. He saw me, nodded, and said, "You're not twitching anymore. That's good. The freeze is fading." I nodded. "Desensitized," I said. "Not desensitized," he corrected. "Resensitized. You're finally feeling things as they happen, instead of 5 seconds too late." That's when I realized the real manipulation wasn't external. It wasn't society. It wasn't media. It was the part of me that had numbed myself into awkwardness, hiding behind performance, posture, fake charm, and all the tools and tactics that masked my truth. The real work was not to become smoother. It was to become so present that the awkwardness had no place to live. There's a moment, right before a conversation turns electric. You feel it in her breath, in her blink rate, in the way her fingertips brush her glass, just a little slower than before. And you feel it in your chest. That tightening, that pulse. The room doesn't go quiet. It gets louder in all the wrong places. Like your body is suddenly amplifying every detail. That's not flirting. That's emotional voltage. That's verbal foreplay. You've been taught it's about compliments, touch, clever lines. But the truth, verbal foreplay starts with restraint, with knowing how to ride tension, not diffuse it, how to speak not to fill space, but to shape it, like a sculptor, one word at a time. Mirror Man once told me, "Most guys talk like a fire hose, but women respond to water that trickles, intentional, slow, precise. Let your silence do the seducing. At first, I didn't get it. Then I practiced. And I watched. One night at a rooftop event, I found myself across from a woman with storm-colored eyes and a voice like silk over gravel. She was sharp, quick, no patience for posturing. She said, "You're quiet. That a tactic?" I sipped my drink, held her gaze. "No," I said, just choosing what to say with care. "I only speak when I feel it move through me." She raised an eyebrow. That's when I saw it. Her shoulders relaxed. That was the moment she leaned in. Emotional intelligence isn't about knowing the right answer. It's about reading the emotional tempo of the room, of the person, of the moment, and adjusting your energy like a dimmer switch. Too bright, and it's interrogation. Too low, and it's insecurity. Just right, and it's intimacy. Here's what I learned through hours of real-time drills. Tension is built through pacing. Slow your speech. Let air breathe between words. Curiosity is the gateway drug. Ask questions that sound like poems. When did you stop pretending to be someone else? What's the lie people believe about you that you secretly enjoy? Storytelling beats statistics. Forget credentials. Tell her about the night you almost cried on a subway because a stranger held the door open. People connect to emotional truth, not facts. And then there's voice modulation. Lower your tone not to sound sexy, but to make people lean in. Mirror Man called it the pull. Speak in a way that invites. That pulls. Never push your words into her space. Let them land like secrets. There's a reason most awkward guys sound like they're explaining something. Because they are. They're explaining their existence, hoping to be justified. But a man who's emotionally calibrated, he doesn't explain. He reveals slowly. Like a secret. Like art. And every reveal is designed not to impress, but to connect. The seduction triangle. Mirror Man's term. Insight. Say something that touches the soul, not the ego. Timing. Drop it when she's least expecting depth. Restraint. Don't rush to follow it up. Let her feel it. You talk like someone who's been alone in a crowd their whole life. Let that breathe. Watch her feel seen. You want to know the moment I knew I was changing? It wasn't when I got a number. It was when a woman stopped mid-sentence, smiled slowly, and said, "I don't know what it is about you, but you make everything feel heavier. In a good way." That wasn't game. That was gravity. That was presence. That was years of studying body intelligence, language nuance, and psychological pacing, finally landing in someone else's nervous system. You don't need game. You need emotional fluency. You need to listen for the words behind the words and respond to that. You need to practice silence until it becomes safe, not something to outrun. You need to speak from intention, not insecurity. Because at the end of the day, verbal foreplay isn't what you say. It's what she feels while you're saying it. And when you master that, there are no more awkward moments. Only tension curated. Only conversation engineered. Only connection earned. It felt like an experiment, because it was. A friend of Mirror Man's, a former behavioral psychologist turned underground consultant, ran something he called the Social Lab. Not listed anywhere online. No flyers. No hashtags. You got in by referral only. And somehow, I got in. It was held inside an old industrial warehouse converted into a sleek studio space. Matte black walls, exposed piping, soft ceiling lights casting spotlight-level isolation onto each area like we were test subjects in a human behavior study. There were no chairs. No mirrors. Just zones. Each zone simulated a real-life conversation environment. A bar table with ambient jazz and dim light. A street corner with simulated traffic sounds. A living room setup with intimate couch lighting. A bad date zone, complete with distractions. Phones, fake yawns, even a bored actress to simulate disinterest. Welcome to your emotional crucible. The instructor, an intense woman named Elise, who looked like she'd interrogated CEOs and con artists before breakfast, clapped once. "We're not here to teach you how to charm," she said. "We're here to test your emotional endurance. This is not a game. It's conversation engineering. Every muscle in your face, every hesitation in your voice, every subconscious shift in posture. That's your language. First exercise, the eyes have it." We stood 2 feet apart from a partner, stared into each other's eyes for 90 seconds, and said nothing. By second 30, most men folded, looking away, fidgeting, chuckling nervously. I lasted the full 90. Not because I was confident, because I had desensitized. I had trained in silence. I had made peace with being seen. Elise nodded at me. You're not flinching anymore. Good. That's where connection begins, when the freeze dies. Next drill, the pattern interrupt. You'd start a story. Halfway through, your partner had to derail it completely on purpose. Your job, maintain emotional coherence. Stay present. Adjust. Don't collapse. It simulated real life. A phone ringing. A friend walking up. Her losing interest. Do you retreat? Or do you recalibrate? That's when I understood. Presence isn't what you plan. It's what you protect when the plan fails. The hardest zone. The server room. A small cube. One stool. One spotlight. One camera recording. You walk in. Sit. And Elise feeds you your own worst fears. She reads your bio. Your mistakes. Your hesitations. She becomes your inner critic. You talk too slow. You sound insecure. She's already bored. You're not interesting enough to hold her attention. Your job. Respond. Not with defiance. With self-integrity. The room teaches you how to hold your center in the middle of a storm of projected rejection. I broke. Twice. But the third time, I breathed. I grounded. I said, that may be true. But this version of me shows up anyway. That's leadership. After the session, Elise approached. She said, you're ready. Not because you're smooth. Because you're honest. That's the skill most men skip. The courage to stay when their image starts to crack. That night, Mirror Man called me. I didn't even know he had my number. You went through the lab? Yeah, I said. And I didn't perform. I connected. Good, he said. Then you're almost there. I asked him what there meant. He laughed. There is the moment you realize you no longer need to connect. You're just open to it. That's when people trust you. That's when women feel safe with you. Because you're not manipulating the moment, you're mirroring truth. That's the thing no one teaches you. Real influence isn't about tactics. It's about being the most stable emotional signal in the room. People are drawn to that. Crave it. Cling to it. Especially in a world of static. The social lab didn't make me smoother. It made me stronger. It made me precise. In my words. In my posture. In my breath. It taught me that awkwardness isn't a flaw, it's feedback. And when you listen to it, you become something most men never do. Emotionally fluent. Conversationally sovereign. Intellectually seductive. Quietly unforgettable. There's a moment, right before you speak, where time slows. Not because you're nervous, but because you're aware. Of everything, the weight in the room, the tension in your shoulders, the way her eyes flicker with curiosity, caution, maybe even craving. You've been here before, but this time you're different. Because now, you don't need the moment to go your way. You're not chasing connection. You're holding space for it to arrive. It was a Wednesday again, full circle. Same city. Different man. I was at an industry networking event, standing near the back with a drink I wasn't sipping. A woman walked in. She wasn't stunning, but she was magnetic, effortless. She moved through the room like gravity answered to her. And this time I didn't freeze. I didn't calculate. I didn't rehearse a single word. I simply observed, waited, let the moment bloom. When our eyes met, she smiled. I walked over calm, open whole. You carry a kind of quiet, not emptiness, just restraint, she said. That stopped me. I smiled steady. Most people speak too soon, I said. I try to listen to the room first. There's usually something it wants to say before we do. She blinked slowly. The corner of her mouth curled. Not approval. Not flirtation. Recognition. We talked for 15 minutes. Then 20. Then an hour. And for the first time, I wasn't performing. I wasn't trying to get anything. I wasn't proving my worth. I was simply me. Integrated. Calibrated. Present. That's when it hit me. The loop wasn't closing because I got the girl. It was closing because I'd stopped abandoning myself just to be chosen. I no longer spoke from fear. I no longer let silence bully me. I no longer searched for validation in someone else's eyes. Mirror Man's voice echoed in my mind. You're not here to impress her. You're here to express you. And if you do it right, she'll lean in to meet the man behind the words. That wasn't a line. It was a philosophy. No more awkward moments wasn't a tactic. It was the reward for going deep, past the hacks, the manipulation, the dark psychology noise, past the marketplace of fake charisma and broken boys teaching each other how to avoid pain. What I found beneath all of that was clarity. Clarity in my body. Clarity in my pacing. Clarity in the kind of man I wanted to be, even if no one noticed. The closing loop is this. You master infield conversations not when you finally say the right thing, but when you can stand in front of someone you want, say less, and still feel whole. That's the secret. That's the skill. That's the blueprint I never got until I broke. And if you've made it this far, you already know what I'm about to say. You don't need another line. You don't need to be louder. You just need to trust your silence and let your presence do the talking. Because the final loop, it's not just about talking to women. It's about never talking to yourself like you're not enough again.